In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So tonight we're beginning with Father Pablo Martin. He's a gentle soul, a good soul. He authored the biography of Luisa that was on the list of recommended readings that Archbishop Giovanni Battista Piccieri gave it when he gave a talk at the Third International Congress, the Madonna of Grace Sanctuary, on October 27th, 2005. This was 2 days before the cause ended. It was a great meeting. Everybody there was greatly blessed by all the speakers. It was really a glorious time. And then 2 days later, the cause was completed with a positive evaluation of Luisa. And the recommendation to the Vatican was that Luisa should be canonized. The writings of Luisa are so astonishing. They're so amazing that the whole world, Jesus says, will be basically changed for the better because of these writings. So in the biography of Luisa, Little Daughter of the Divine Will, it is written, Luisa was bedridden in Corrado since her teen years, and Padre Pio was cloistered all his adult life at Our Lady of Grace Friary in San Giovanni Rotondo. That's the same friary that Father Bucci was part of. And therefore, Padre Pio and Luisa never met in person. However, Luisa and Padre Pio exchanged greetings and prayers and each referred visitors to each other. One of the things Father Bucci would tell us is that when somebody from Corrado would show up at Giovanni Rotondo, what would happen is Padre Pio would say to the person, "You have Luisa. Go back to Luisa. Like, don't bother me. Go to Luisa." They knew, well, in the spiritual aspect, they knew each other very, very well. Again, saints always gather around each other. You have, you know, Padre Pio, Luisa, St. Honorable de Francia. The saints always work together. And this is what you're going to find with the little children, the Holy Divine Will. This becomes our true family. It's a closer family than even our blood family, because it's the true life. The divine will is trying to emulate the true life of Jesus and Mary that Luisa possesses. And this is so glorious that you will see that, you have a closer relationship sometimes even with others in the divine will than your family, even though it's blood. So Father Martin also compiled the little catechism of the divine will. And in the introductory note, he states that the little children of the divine will, this catechism is an aid for those who wish to know the spiritual message of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, the little daughter of the divine will. In her life and in her writings, their basic formation in the faith will be their guides in their lives. And this is the catechism. That's what the Archbishop has asked, that you blend the catechism, sacred scripture, and Luisa's writings together. And again, this is important. He says, in reading Luisa, don't bring up other spiritualities. Like some people like to bring in Father Gobi. And Father Gobi is wonderful, but it's not divine will. Some people like to bring in some of the mystics of today, some of the teachings of some mystics. And Father Bucci would say, the mysticism of Luisa is not of anything that we have seen before. And Archbishop Carey would say to us, don't mix anything with Luisa. If you're having a prayer group, focus on Luisa. He says, otherwise you basically pollute, this pure spirituality. And this is something that is important today. So the spirituality of Luisa is so pure, this is what Archbishop Piccieri has said, is that when you mix other spiritualities with it, it's like pure white and mixing color with it. The purity isn't there anymore because it mixes in with a saintly holiness, a human saintly holiness. And what Louisa possesses is a divine holiness that, it's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So this is something that will astonish everyone in the new era of how glorious this gift of the divine will is, how everything points to the divine will. Everything in the Holy Church points to this divine will. Why? Because the divine will is the fulfillment of the prayer, the only prayer that Jesus taught, the Our Father. The next part is Father Riccardo Pignatelli, the postulator general. I became good friends with him. I what a great man. He got me into the Vatican at the canonization of St. Honorable and got up real close to the Holy Father. He got to speak to the Holy Father, but it was really a glorious time. And he's from the Trani diocese. So he knew Louisa as a young man. He said that what he went through was this spirituality that Louisa possessed, and he found his way to the Rogationists. So the Rogationists is the Heart of Jesus. It's a religious congregation of priests and brothers founded by Saint Anna Maria de Francia. The Rogationist comes from the Latin word rogate, meaning prayer, pray. So the praying is essential. And what St. Honorable discovered with Louisa, with the rounds, he discovered that this prayer is to begin to pray the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed. What was their life like? And Jesus shows Louisa this prayer of Jesus and Mary is to breathe in, if you want to say, all the I love yous in creation. And Jesus and Mary bring, they're the two that bring the I love you of redemption to humanity. So this prayer, this praying changes our whole understanding. We have learned from the saints how to pray. This is a saintly human understanding. Again, the Lord was generous with the saints because of their prayerfulness, because of their mortifications, their desire to give up everything of the world to seek the Lord. And now with Louisa, it's our prayer life becomes even more one with God. You begin to hear, see, smell, taste, and touch the I love yous in creation. I mean that, and in redemption. But in creation, like for example, Jesus said to Louisa, "What do you see on the leaves of the tree?" And she says, "I see your I love you." And she said, "I see Our Lady's I love you." And Jesus said to Louisa, "Where's your I love you?" And she says, "I want my I love yous to be on all the leaves of the tree." And instantly, because this is the prayer of Jesus and Mary that she got into, every leaf on every tree had the word I love you from Louisa. And so now you had the three, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, two from heaven, one from heaven, two from earth, but all of heaven now. And this prayer becomes our life, where we really begin to experience the I love yous in creation. And with the fiat, as we grow in the knowledge of the divine will, with the fiat, our yes to God, when it rains, it's fiat. When it's sunny, it's fiat. When it's snowing, it's fiat. And so therefore, in every situation, we're saying yes to God. And this is the life that Adam had before the fall. This is the life of Jesus and Mary. And what you're going to experience also is the power of the divine will in creation. This is what Jesus teaches Louisa. This is how Adam lived. Adam was the king of the earth. When he said to the plants, grow, they grew. When he said to the weather, you know, we need rain, it rained. Whatever Adam said, being the Lord of the earth, the king of the earth, the animals, the plants, the minerals, everything responded to Adam. And it's the same thing with Our Lady, being mother of God, Theotokos, mother and queen of heaven and earth. With Jesus on earth, everything responded to the love of God, seeing the love of God, seeing the fiat of the divine will in Jesus and in Mary. Everything was responding. So when you begin to pray the rounds, everything changes. Your prayer life changes. It's not to be distant. It's not like praying to God 1,000,000,000 miles away. You pray one with God, fuse with God. And this is what's so amazing. So, Father says, the spirituality of the congregation is centered on the word of Jesus, the gospel. The harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Pray. Pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest that he may send workers into his harvest. Hence, they will carry out the mission of praying for vocations to the priestly and consecrated life in the Holy Church and propagating this prayer worldwide. Caring and promoting the human and spiritual welfare of orphans, the needy children, and the poor. So here, what we see is the spirituality of St. Honorable de Francia, focusing on the word of God, pray to the Lord of the harvest. And at the canonization, Pope St. John Paul II said, if you want vocations, he said, pray to St. Honorable de Francia, and you will have vocations. So one of the things that's happening in a lot of dioceses that I know is a lot of the churches are closing, not because of money, but because of there's few priests. So, you know, the church got hit hard after Vatican II, where the priests and the sisters, numerous ones left, and there was a void. And this void is for us to pray more. And I do think that the Rogationists, their whole idea of praying to the Lord of the harvest, praying for vocations to the priestly and consecrated life is essential on our part. If you have a shortage of priests, pray. If you have priests that are not, I mean, if, you know, some have said that some of the priests don't give basically the beauty of the church to the congregation. It's prayer. Prayer is essential, not criticizing, but prayer. And we're at that point where the devil wants schism. The devil wants destruction. He wants to tear apart the church. And our job is to pray. And when we pray the round of creation, the round of redemption, when we're praying this, we know that God is going to take care of it. The as Our Lady said, in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. We know that this prayer that Jesus and Mary have taught Louisa is essential for us and for our time. This is the time when we're going to face the most difficult war. It's not just physical or national. It's spiritual. The war between heaven and earth is going on. The evil one believes, you know, he has the power now to destroy the church, and that's not going to happen. You know, it's going to be difficult. I mean, that's part of the birth pains that Jesus said we're going to go through. And with any birth, the pains are more frequent and more difficult, but it's nothing to be angry about or miserable about. Our life is to pray with confidence to God, trusting in God. That's why God gave to Louisa the command prayer, because this command prayer, we have total and complete trust in the Lord. Yes, it's going to get tough, but listen to what he says. Our existence, praying of the Rogationists, is for vocations, the priestly and consecrated life, to the Holy Church, propagating this prayer worldwide caring for the promotion of the human and spiritual welfare of orphans, the needy children, and the poor. God's going to take care of everyone. He's a good God. He's a holy God. He's a powerful God. And our job is to pray one with him for what he is asking us to pray for. Not our prayers, but his prayer. And as we know, the main prayer that Jesus gave us is, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So this desire of Jesus in his prayer becomes our desire. So Father Pignatelli said, I can maintain that the process of canonization of St. Honorable de Francia was influenced also by his relationship with Luisa. And I must also affirm that in her turn, Luisa has drawn by Father Nibali to share also in the concern for the rogate. So here, when you go to his church, the St. Anthony's parish in Rome, this is where the Rogationists are, and you go to the back chapel there in a beautiful image of St. Honorable de Francia, rising into the air, glowing with light. And this came from, the day that St. Honorable died. When she heard that St. Honorable died, and she's writing in her book, the Book of Heaven, Jesus showed her the light that he was in was the light of the divine will, because he was so influenced by Luisa that was his focus at the end of his life. His whole focus was this. So he says, I can maintain that the process of canonization of St. Honorable de Francia was influenced also by his relationship with Luisa Pecoretta. And I must also affirm that in her turn, Luisa was drawn by St. Honorable to share also in the concern for the Rogationists. In fact, in the writings of Luisa, one can find explicit references to vocations. For example, in the fourth hour, the hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know this. As a young man, he prayed the Hours of the Passion. See, the Hours of the Passion were written and promoted by St. Pius X. And St. Honorable had done this, and this was part of his prayerful life, is the 24 Hours of the Passion. As a matter of fact, he's the one that gave the name, the 24 Hours of the Passion, that was put on the book. So in the Hours of the Passion, our Lord Jesus Christ, I will pray to you for priests, Luisa says, that they may be worthy of being your ministers. Jesus, I make reparation for the mistaken vocations of priests on their own part and on the part of those who ordain them without using all the proper means to discern their true vocations. So here's two things that Luisa is offering to the Father in the name of Jesus, that we also pray when we pray in the rounds of the Passion, the 24 Hours of the Passion. In the 19th hour, Luisa prays for all the priests that they may be light to the people. Now, one of the things that Jesus teaches Luisa that we've gone through before with this book, The Role of the Priests in the Divine Will, is he's going to change the priesthood. This is what he says. I'm going to make the priesthood what I wanted from the beginning. So you have the Old Testament priests, you have the New Testament priests, and now with the testament of the gospel of the kingdom, he's going to help these priests in the new era to proclaim this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II talked about at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. And later during the same hour, the 19th hour, Luisa extends her prayers to other vocations, asking of Jesus, give me your heart so that I may feel the same thirst for souls consecrated to you. So here, as we read the 24 Hours of the Passion, the same thing is what we're praying. Lord, give me your heart so that I can feel the same thirst that you have for souls. That's Luisa. She said to Jesus, I will die for every human being so that they can enter into this gift of the divine will. I will give up my life. I will stay crucified, she said to Jesus, because she had this same thirst for souls, not exactly like Jesus at this time, but a desire that everyone come to heaven. And see, this is the thing too. We don't want anyone to be lost. We don't want any soul to be lost. We want every soul in our family, with our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, but every soul that is a true child of God to enter into the kingdom. You know, this is our prayer. This is our life. And our God is, he's looking at us and he's saying, what are you praying for? What are you longing for? Is it what I want or is it what you want? Listen to Louisa, give me your sacred heart so that I feel the same thirst for souls consecrated to you. I want this same feeling. There are many other references to vocations throughout the volumes of Louisa. In this will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, our sanctification. This is the will of God, your family sanctification. This is the will of God, all the nations sanctification. God is getting everyone is getting ready for what God has planned. And those that give their fiat, you'll be astonished how powerful your prayer becomes in the divine will. Father Pignatelli says, the rogate, the charism which characterizes the spirituality of St. Honorable de Francia is none other than an expression of the will of God, who sees the harvest of souls weary and forlorn like sheep without a shepherd and at the risk of being lost. Now, what we know is as this battle goes on that we're in, this battle between heaven and earth, this battle between Jesus and the evil one, this separation of the sheep and goats, this separation of the tares and wheat, the separation of light and darkness, everything is ready. This is the time, Jesus tells Louisa, that he is giving us at this critical time, the book of heaven. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, the Lord is in charge. The Lord is leading. The Lord is guiding. The Lord is directing. And you see this, you experience this as you read the book. So think about what he says. The expression of the will of God, who sees the harvest of souls weary and forlorn like sheep without a shepherd and at risk of being lost. How often are we concerned about our family and friends? But Jesus is asking us to be concerned for everyone and for everything. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life of the peace, joy, and happiness that he breathed into Louisa, which is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So the Lord has compassion for them and commands his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest, that many respond with their generous fiat to his call and become new apostles of the divine will. Now, these are the words of Father Pignatelli. He knows, like at the end of the canonization, he came up and he said to me, he says, Father Nible is all set. He goes, now Louisa. And you could see the love that he had for Louisa. Because they read everything in the book of heaven. They focused on everything in the book of heaven that Jesus told Louisa about Father Nible. And not only that, but these 17 years that Father Nible and Louisa were together, is the backbone, if you want to say, of what is coming. This new and divine way of holiness is going to, shock the world of what God is going to bring about. God is going to bring about a new beginning. So he says, how do you say it? The Lord has compassion for them and commands his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest that many respond with their generous fiat. This fiat is what we learn from Jesus and Mary through Louisa to his call to become new apostles of the divine will, ready to work for the salvation of all of mankind. And not just a few. It's for everyone. Everyone will become Catholic. There's only the universal life that God breathed into Adam isn't many. It's the universal life, the Catholic life. When Jesus and Mary come to earth, they breathe this universal life into the apostles. At the first Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and went out to all the world as Jesus asked, as Jesus commanded. And now a new beginning is coming where not just 1 billion out of 8 billion people are Catholic, but everyone will be Catholic. You have to understand, God has got many things. He's got one thing in common with Adam and Eve, and that's the universal life. One thing in common for Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the universal life, the Catholic life. So what God is expecting of us is to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. Faithful and obedient. That's, to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in this difficult time. Not to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, not to doubt. God is going to take care of everything. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. And as we enter into this divine will, your whole life becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. So the Father says this, every life is a vocation, and holiness is the common vocation of every Christian. St. Paul says, God has called us to holiness in Thessalonians 4:7. God has called us to his holiness, to enter into this divine life, to be that drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice filled with wine. We're nothing. Yet God is saying, I want you to participate in this wine. I want you to become one with me in this new and divine way of holiness. This life that Jesus wants us to enter into is divine. It's not about just being good and holy and saintly. We have to make that jump. As the faithful Jews made that jump to become Catholic, to become Christian. And the first ones were the Essenes, that became Christian. We have to be like the Essenes. The Essenes were longing for the Messiah. We're longing for the kingdom. He gave us the book of heaven to focus on this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to the earth. And this is glorious. This is magnificent. So our God is asking us, pleading with us, to really begin, to be Catholic. So the first thing that we do, and this is what Jesus shows us, is we keep holy the Sabbath. We make Sunday a day of glorifying the Lord. We don't make it another Saturday. And if we have made it into a Saturday, we got to repent, turn back and say, I want to make this day the Lord's day, your day, Lord, to glorify you, Lord, not to entertain me with sports, making other gods my God, but you. I want you to be the Lord, my God, my Savior, my King, my Master. And God goes, good. And he goes, prove it. And that's where to stand up and say, Sunday's the Lord's day, is you will be ridiculed and laughed at and mocked and ignored. And that's good. Look at what Jesus said. It will be like in the time of Noah. Noah spent 120 years building the ark. And everybody laughed at him. And he was building a boat in the desert. And what happens is everybody was mocking him. And it wasn't just a boat. It was a cruise liner. And he's just spending all his time being obedient to God because this is what God wanted of him. We have to look as foolish. We wear the scapular. We pray the rosary. We spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. We go to Holy Mass. We receive communion. We make sure that we're in the state of grace by going to confession. We have the sacraments and sacramentals. We have the book of heaven. And God is saying to us, it's going to be like in the time of Noah. You can be like everybody else, partying. And what do they say? How does Jesus put that? They were eating and drinking, giving each other in marriage. What were they eating? What were they drinking? Same thing is going on today. What kind of marriage? Same thing is going on today. It's going to be like in the time of Noah, but we have to make the stand to say, I'm with you, Lord. What you ask me to keep holy the Sabbath, I will keep holy the Sabbath, and my family will keep holy the Sabbath. And when you train your kids, when you train your children at a young age, it's a lot easier. But again, the teenage years are tough, but again, they're going to come to you and they're going to ask you, with their fear, in their fear, in their worry, in their anxiety, in their complaints, in their negativity, what do you do? How do you get through this? And with faith, you bring healing to them. You give your faith to them. We are Catholic. We follow, we keep holy the Sabbath. It's a minimal requirement to go to Mass once a week. Minimal. And yet that might be too hard for some people. Some people get to church late and leave early. That's punching a time clock. We are to fall in love with God. When we go to see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we are looking at God. We see him in the monstrance. So what do? We are called by Jesus, and Jesus shows this to Louisa, to fall in love with him. How do you fall in love with God? By falling in love with God, spending time with the one you love. And this is, if you can't make it to church, you know, like Peter has right here, you have exposition in the Blessed Sacrament. And you can find many, many places throughout the United States, throughout the world, that has perpetual adoration. And that's, again, that's what John Paul II said in the 80s. He wanted perpetual adoration in every parish. The Pope said that. And we find it in a few places. But if you spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, if you fall in love with Jesus, the problems that are all around you won't affect you. They can't affect you. Why? You're one with Jesus. You're one with Mary. You're one with our Eucharistic Lord. And this is the greatest strength that any human can have. That we are going to need in this battle that we're in. And it's a battle, Jesus says, we're going to enter into this battle, and it's not a battle of blood. It's a battle of love. And God is going to conquer humanity with this. And he's asking us to be part of it. So getting back to Father Pignatelli, God has called us to holiness. But to respond to one's proper vocation is none other than to fulfill this call and to realize the plan of the will of God for us. That's why God has given us the Book of Heaven. We are therefore in the realm of the Fiat Voluntas Tua, the divine will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a glorious time. It's a glorious time to be alive. And God has given to us what he didn't give to the saints. The saints did not have Louisa. The saints don't talk about Louisa. The saints don't talk about living in the divine will. They might refer to it occasionally, but to live in the divine will is the life of Jesus and Mary. And that's what God is giving to us. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, it's a new beginning for everyone and for everything. This introduction by Father Pignatelli to the life and charism of St. Annibal de Francia is this. St. Annibal de Francia was both the confessor and ecclesiastical advisor of Louisa Picaretta. Everything in this essay that refers to the life, the writings, and the extraordinary phenomenon of Louisa Picaretta is intended to conform to the teachings of the Holy Church. And that's the thing that is so amazing. When you read Louisa, the dogma and doctrine comes alive. When you read Louisa, the sacred scripture comes alive. When you read Louisa, the saints' lives become alive. And what Jesus tells Louisa is all the saints in heaven are waiting for you, Louisa, to redo their life, not in a human way, that the way they did it, but in a divine manner. And how does that happen for a human? It's the life of Jesus and Mary to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything. And Jesus says, what's going to happen with this renewal? Now think about it. The prayer, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. This prayer of the church is found in the divine will, the life of how to live this. And that's what's so amazing. Jesus said, when this renewal is done, when everything's been repaired, when everything's been redone from Adam to the last man, Jesus says, it will live as if Adam didn't sin. This is what Jesus presents to the Father, the perfected humanity, perfect, be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. The perfect humanity he brings to the Father. This is where we are. This is sanctification. This is greater than what the saints have shown us to this point. We love the saints, but they showed us how to do the will of God. What Jesus is showing us is how to live in the will of God. So this is what he says. Everything in this essay that refers to the life, the writings of the extraordinary phenomenon of Luis Picaretta is intended to conform to the teachings of the Holy Church. The canonization of St. Honorable, the esteem that he had for Luisa, and his approval of her writings cannot but help Luisa's process of beatification. And Jesus says in volume 13, Luisa, all generations are going to call you blessed. She's going to be known as Blessed Luisa. Why? God has great plans. And Luisa's leading the charge in this. A human born of original sin. And the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, the esteem he had for Luisa, and his approval of her writings cannot but help the process of her beatification. So he says, my position as postulator of the cause of St. Honorable de Francia gave me the wonderful opportunity to know and admire and respect and love St. Honorable. I grew to understand why the church called him the apostle of prayer for vocations, the true father of orphans and the poor. And Pope St. John Paul II called St. Honorable the precursor of the modern day vocation for vocation to promote the promotion programs. So here is the one we pray to, the one who was close to Luisa for priests, and your bishops to pray that God will grant this prayer that you're praying, good and holy priests, good and holy deacons, good and holy bishops. So the devotion to Luisa Picaretta has helped spread the message of the mission of St. Honorable de Francia throughout the United States, Latin America, the Philippines, and elsewhere. In getting to know Luisa, her devotees have been introduced to the beloved founder of the Rogationist Fathers and Daughters of the Divine Zeal. And when you go to Corrado, when you go to St. Anthony's Orphanage and you meet the little sisters, and they are little sisters, you sense the deep spirituality that they have. And when I first went there back in the 80s, it was, we met many of them who Luisa told them that they would be, sisters, that they would be in the convent, and their love for Luisa. They talk about her, Luisa La Santa, the Luisa the Saint. The sisters who were with her during those 10 years, were in love with Luisa. So, in getting to know Luisa, the devotees had been introduced to the founder of the Rogationist Fathers and Daughters of the Divine Zeal. Thus, they have been truly blessed by God as they seek to deepen their own spiritual journeys through the examples of Luisa and Annabelle. The journeys of Annabelle toward canonization has shed a positive light on the life and writings of Luisa Picaretta. From some of these letters written by Father Nibali to Luisa, we can see that Father Nibley focused on trying to understand God's will. You must understand, she says, that my greatest goal in life that has been given to me the most energy has been my desire to follow God's will. I take advantage of every opportunity. I get to share my desires with everyone I meet. Say, Honorable died on June 1st, 1927 in Messina after being comforted by a vision of Our Lady. Our Lady appeared to him as he was getting ready to die, whom he had always loved and praised and venerated. When he died, the cry went out in Messina, "The saint has died." Luisa echoed the same sentiment when, upon hearing the death of Saint Annibal, wrote in volume 22 of her writings, "He was a saint who guided me and helped me to understand what Jesus had said to me about the divine will." And she added, "I saw in front of me," this is the vision, "a vision of that blessed soul of God, Saint Annibal de Francia, the Father, bathed in light beside my bed. And Jesus said to me, 'Look how my divine will has transformed him. My divine will is also light for you, Luisa.'" And that happens to us as well. This light that we're entering into is not earthly. So the church has recognized the Honorable, the true apostle and prayer for vocations, and the father of the orphans and the poor, heard the prayers of the people when Pope St. John Paul II elevated St. Honorable de Francia to sainthood on May 16th, 2004, in the same place in which he had been declared blessed on October 7th, 1900 in St. Peter's Square in the Vatican. Now think about this. Luisa, God has so much fun with numbers and names. He's always playing with us. He loves to play with his children. And when Luisa went to stay at the convent, she started on October 7th. That was 1928. And they said, "How long are you going to stay here?" And she said, 10 years. On October 7th, 1938, she left. On October 7th, 1900, he became blessed. I mean, you're seeing how God loves to have fun. He loves numbers. He loves names. And we know that Luisa, who was in that convent where she wrote the most essential truths about receiving the divine inheritance of the Father from volume 25 to volume 36. These volumes are the most powerful, most powerful. She was prepared 40 years at the association. And then for the last 10 years, she was here. She was there basically in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Her room is now where the chapel is. It's her room is where the tabernacle is, where her headboard is where the tabernacle was. So Saint John Paul II declared Saint Annibal to be the authentic and zealous precursor of the modern vocation ministry. Luisa wrote in volume 21, "I was worried about Saint Father Anibale's health. Then from inside me, I heard Jesus say, 'Daughter of mine, he has been given a mission, and I, God, will bring him to heaven, and he will continue his mission from up there. He will shed his light on those who follow him.'" So what we have is all the copies of the book. If they're dedicated to Saint Annibal, we need Saint Annibal to lead us and guide us. This is his mission, that we can understand this book of heaven, that he and Luisa can help us enter into this light, become part of this light, this life, this love that God is showing us. And he's asking us to do this. So we are sure that St. Annibal is shedding this light on those souls who now carry forth the cause for the canonization of Luisa Picaretta from his throne of glory in heaven. Fiat, let it be done. It's going to happen. And we're going to witness this. We're going to witness what all the saints who thought about the end times wanted to be. They wanted to be here. And it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. We're going to witness this. And so God has given us the means to get through this, the why and the how the kingdom is coming with the book of heaven. So let us pray. Let's say a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. And we pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.